Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is a Throwback Thursday today. Hey, listen, a lot of times we do Throwback Thursday where we pick something in sports that's important, and sometimes we do things where, you know, we've had a serious moment in our history, but sometimes we do things that are fun, and we're going to do something fun today, so you got to stick around to find out. Hey, guess what, everybody? We got another football game on tap. It is the Giants and the Washington football team, and the football team will be starting Taylor Heinicke at quarterback tonight. It's, you know, it's an NFC East battle. These teams aren't that great, but, you know, when they get together, you know, who knows what can happen tonight. But we are going to look into week two, of course. We've got some better games on tap coming up this weekend. And I started yesterday's show by talking about Urban Meyer. And unfortunately, I have to do it again. And this guy is going to drive me crazy because he's constantly in the news. The USC job is open. And so immediately people went into the Wednesday press conference and started asking the Jacksonville football coach if he wouldn't mind leaving the destined to fail job at the Jaguars to take one of the premier jobs in sports. And he said, no, no chance. And that immediately made people go, yeah, I kind of thought he would say that, but in reality, don't they all say that? And then that led us to all this speculation that he might still take the job. I got some thoughts on this, and I hate to do the Urban Meyer thing second day in a row, but he's the gift that keeps on giving. We'll also talk about the Ryder Cup, because there's a little bit of a controversy on the U.S. side, and that Brooks Koepka doesn't really like the format and doesn't really enjoy the Ryder Cup, apparently, because Paul Azinger's mad at him. The Ryder Cup, one of the events that brings the United States and Europe golfers together in this team format. Golfers don't play team formats. They don't really do it at all in their youth. So when they get in together with another golfer to play alternate shot or a best ball or whatever, it's something they rarely do. Koepka's speaking the truth, but it's already starting to create some discord on Team USA, which is going to drive me crazy because the United States doesn't win the cup very often. But coming up, my good friend, your good friend, Urban Meyer, answering why he's not going to go to USC and whether or not we believe him. We've got some history next on Wake Up Call.
A Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
I told you the Throwback Thursday was going to be fun this morning. We're going back to 1984 because on this date, Miami Vice made its television debut on NBC. I did not watch Miami Vice until I was a little older. I got the few latter seasons of the show. But I knew about Miami Vice. Does that make sense? Like, I didn't watch the show, but it was so prevalent
in
the culture. So you knew of it.
You knew the fashion, basically. Yeah.
And I had no idea as a kid that Miami Vice cops really didn't make that kind of money to drive fancy cars and wear really, really nice suits all the time.
I mean, if you think about it, if that's real life, they had a side gig going on.
Right. They totally did have a side gig. But it's one of the better television dramas of the 1980s, and we're going to be doing that today as a theme as we celebrate Miami Vice. By the way, there are scratches, there are dents, and unexpected natural events. If life throws you uh-ohs, just say better get Mako and head to Mako.com to get an online estimate today. I know Don Johnson. What was the name of the other guy, his partner in real life?
Philip Morris, but that's not right.
I should have looked this up before. If I'm doing a segment on Miami Vice.
It's Crockett and Tubbs.
It's Crockett and Tubbs. I should have just did my research on Miami Vice before we did a Throwback Thursday. Now I'm doing it on the air, which I don't like doing. I just like to keep going. But now I have to give the credit for the for the show.
Philip Michael Thomas.
I am so sorry, Philip Michael Thomas, that I easily remembered Don Johnson, but I did not remember you. I'm so sorry.
You know, it's fun. I mean, we did a Miami Vice thing for Throwback Thursday. Not Throwback Thursday, the Good, Bad, the Dumb not too long ago.
Yeah, that's right. Remind me of what we're doing.
Because
I remember
of
we
all
did that.
All the stars that had appeared.
Oh, yes, that's right.
You know, stars like, you know, Ed O'Neill to Julia Roberts to Ben Stiller having a scene to Benicio Del Toro having a throwaway scene.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
That barely made the cut.
Man, and early on, it was not a hit, but it became a hit later on. So,
yeah.
But it was still a big deal. It was, but you're right. It was like, you're right. There were so many guest appearances that were on that show from people. I'm just looking at the list now. It's crazy. It's crazy. And by the way, I mean, think about the people who created this show, right? They're like, we want a cop drama. Okay, what do you want it about?
We have a lot of those.
Well, okay, we got a lot of those. Separate this show from the ones that, like, Hill Street Blues and a bunch of other ones that are on the air. Tell me what makes this different. Okay, let's just, what's in the news right now in terms of things? Cocaine. Okay, where does cocaine come into? Miami. How about we have two cops try to stop the big drug trafficking that goes on in South Florida? Perfect. Nail it. Done. And that's the show. And that was great.
That was it.
That was it. It's pretty awesome. Yeah, Miami Vice, man. That was great. All right, so speaking of Florida, and like I said, I hate doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. This is my second day now talking about Urban Meyer. Unfortunately, it's not going to be the last. It'll probably be a lot more Urban Meyer discussions down the road this season. But the USC job is available because earlier this week, the school fired Clay Helton. Now, look, before we get into Meyer's response, there's two schools of thought about when you fire a coach, right? Do you fire a coach immediately or do you fire a coach when the season is over and he didn't get it right? He didn't right the ship. Now, USC lost to Stanford, and it was a bad loss. But Clay Helton didn't lose his job because of Stanford. He lost his job because they've been waiting for a moment to fire him, and Stanford now allowed that moment for USC to fire him. He actually had a pretty good season during the COVID-shortened year, played in the Pac-12 championship game, and then they had to opt out because of COVID, I believe. But nevertheless, I mean, they went like 5-0 in their shortened season. They were waiting for an opportunity to fire Clay Helton, and they did. Schools that fire coaches mid-season go to an interim coach, and then they look for the coach during the offseason. So Urban Meyer was never going to quit USC right now and jump on board to be the head coach at USC. That was not going to happen. They were going to play this out with the interim coach and then wait. Now, Urban Meyer denied immediately. Now, the press asked him, and then he denied it. And then the press didn't believe him because we don't really believe these guys anyway. They're either telling the truth or they're lying, and it's not surprising either way. We've seen Nick Saban say he's absolutely not going to take the Alabama job to then take the Alabama job. We have seen coaches say they are not going to be taking the job at Notre Dame, and then they don't take the job at Notre Dame. So we've seen this plenty of times in the history of sports where coaches will say things, and sometimes they're right, but sometimes they're lying, and you don't really know what to believe. So for people who are saying it's done, closed, it's over, we know better. It's not over. He could take the job. He could still take the job. But the reality is that reporters ask these questions because they do need an answer to it, right? Even though they don't maybe not believe him, maybe whatever, they need an answer. So they got the answer, and the answer was he wasn't going to take the USC job. Now, let's say he does. Let's say it's just too tempting, because remember, USC will start looking for a coach, but they won't really hire that coach until this season runs its course with the interim coach. But they're going to need him right away because recruiting starts almost immediately, so they are going to need to have a coach in place. But let's say Urban starts going, man, I could do this. People will go, oh my God, what about his legacy? He's going to be remembered as the guy that bailed on Jacksonville after 1 year. Yes and no. The thing about legacy is it depends on which group you're talking about. Overall, nationally, maybe. But remember, his legacy only sticks if there's not something else to remember him for. If Urban Meyer goes to USC, which, by the way, I don't think he will, but let's just hypothetically say he will. If he goes to USC and he brings USC back up to the Pete Carroll level of excellence, where they're competing for national championships and maybe winning one or two, if he does that, then we're really going to sort of push the Jacksonville one and done off to the side a bit and seriously put him in another level of category in terms of college coaching. Remember, Alabama has Nick Saban, who bailed on Miami, who said to the press he wasn't interested in the Alabama job and then immediately took the Alabama job. And it's hardly ever brought up. And it's only brought up to reference when other coaches do this kind of thing. But it's never brought up as a stain on the legacy of what Nick Saban has done in the college game. I don't even remember Nick Saban being in the NFL. Right? That's how good he has been on the college level. Urban Meyer may have a bad year in Jacksonville and decide it's not for him and might take the USC job just before the NFL season closes. It's possible. But at the same time, I do think, and this is the thing I said yesterday, when I read things like articles that say Jacksonville's week one game against Houston was a disaster, I pull back and I go, was it a disaster? So they lost to Houston. Houston's a bad team. We get it. But what were the expectations? Really? What were the expectations? A rookie quarterback was going to make mistakes, and a bad football team that is still bad wasn't really going to win a lot of games this year. Now, maybe because they were favored, people are like a little upset that, you know, there's only going to be a few opportunities to win games, and that was one of them. But the reality of it is it wasn't a disaster because I didn't expect them to win. If they won, great. If they lost, I wasn't surprised. I want to believe in giving him the benefit of the doubt. He knew what he was walking into. When people say he's not used to losing, did he think he was going to win 14, 15 games? If he did, really shame on him, because he should be smarter than that. No, I think he knew. I think Trevor Lawrence knew too. I think the both of those guys knew, hey, you know what? It's a whole new different animal here. I'm not in high school. I'm not in college. I'm in the pros, and it's not going to be easy. Right? Yeah, I'm not used to losing regular season games. Of course. But I know I'm going to. I like to think both guys aren't shocked by what they're up against at the National Football League level. And if people are saying, Urban Meyer lost, he can't handle losing, he's going to USC. He's going to lose at USC. Let's be honest here. He's going to lose at USC. He'll start winning some of the recruiting battles, but that state is already losing the recruiting war. JT Daniels is now at Georgia because he didn't want to stay there anymore. DJ Uiagalelei left the state to go be the quarterback at Clemson because Dabo Swinney recruits around the globe now. He's going to lose immediately at USC. He wasn't taken over, you know, at Ohio State that was just dying for a good coach to bring their talent to the national championship level. He's got some work to do there too. So I can't believe for the second day in a row I'm sticking up for Urban Meyer, who I used to call Urban Liar because it's what he does. Do I believe him? And this time I do. I think he'll stay in Jacksonville. I don't think he'll stay in Jacksonville forever. I do think there's going to be a coaching job that's going to open up in the college ranks that is just going to be way too enticing for him. But I don't think he's going to bail on this just yet. And the reason is he's got Trevor Lawrence. If he can make Trevor Lawrence an NFL superstar, that's worth putting up with a couple of years of growth. And I think he knows that. But would I be surprised if at the end of this season he says, no, I'm taking the USC job? Of course not. Absolutely not. Because he's done this kind of thing before. So no, it is not a sign, seal, deliver, done issue. But it is also one where I'm going to hold off the brakes before I start thinking that the guy's going to bail because a week one loss to Houston has made him rethink all of this. I don't think that's what's happening here. All right, we'll continue along. It is a Throwback Thursday. We'll continue. We'll look at tonight's football game between the football team and the Giants as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
It was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Oh, we're doing 1980s drama themes on this date, 1984. Miami Vice debuted. So we're going to take you back in the time machine to the dramas of the 1980s. This is the A-Team. Some things we want to say about this. Before we do, are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install those wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better price, better parts every day. I like the music to the read. That added a little bit of element to it.
It did. You got into it.
Yeah. This is one of those shows that I watched with my brother as a kid that I wonder if my parents thought was just stupid.
Maybe.
Right? Because it, let me just, like, as an adult, I think back now and I go, the A-Team would have been found out if there was a serious, like, search for the A-Team. Military criminals, at least according to the government, and they were driving around in a black van with a red stripe. I think they would have been found
with a big red spoiler
really quick. Yeah.
Well, not only that,
and they had a, like, there was a guy in the group with a mohawk and chains around his neck. I think people would have been like, I think I know who you're looking for. They just drove past me on Wilshire.
Not only that, but it seemed like it was kind of easy to find them.
Yeah.
Like, I know the intro says, you know, if you're able to find them, you know, you could hire the A-Team. But it seemed like, you know, Susie down the street who's being harassed at work, she was able to find the A-Team, no problem.
Yeah, exactly. Like when the young couple was being shaked down by the mob for their little small pottery business, they could find the A-Team, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, did they have to know someone who knows someone to say, hey, here's their card. You didn't get
and
it
then
from me.
Hannibal would show up in disguise to sort of check it out.
Yeah.
And then he would take the job. And you had Mr. T, who didn't like flying, B.A. Baracus, so they used to knock him out so they could get on planes.
Now, can I admit something?
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy the movie.
Oh, I saw the movie, too. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was kind of cool.
You know, I mean, it's not Oscar-worthy.
But it's
one of those where, you know, I put Twister on a different level, obviously, but it's kind of like that. Like, if this shows up on TV, I can pick it up anywhere.
Sure.
It's not going to bother me.
I love the A-Team. I loved it. Loved the A-Team. I liked, there was Hannibal, there was B.A. Baracus, there was Mad Dog Murdoch. And then there was Face.
Face
was played by George Hamilton, right? Wasn't George Hamilton?
No. That was, he was Hannibal.
See, no, George Peppard was Hannibal.
No, George Peppard was Hamilton, yeah.
I thought it was George Hamilton that played Face. I'll have to look it up. Again, I'll do research while I'm going along on these shows because that's what I love to do.
Dirk Benedict.
Dirk Benedict. Why did I say George Hamilton? George Hamilton was a bigger star than being on the A-Team.
But wasn't Dirk Benedict? He was also in Battlestar Galactica, right?
Yes. He was. Yes. You're right. He played. Oh, my God. What are we doing here? We're going down a really cool rabbit hole.
I know.
So, yeah, Dirk Benedict was on Battlestar
Played Lieutenant
Galactica.
Starbuck.
Starbuck. That's right. That's right. So that was another 1980s drama on a Throwback Thursday.
Thank God for IMDb.
God, I really wish it was the 1980s for tonight's football game.
Yes, because then you would have a good game.
We'd have Lawrence Taylor against Joe Theismann again. Yay!
Well, maybe not that game.
Maybe not. We'd have maybe John Riggins. We'd have Phil Sims, Joe Morris. We'd have a couple of other Harry Carson. right? If it was the 1980s, maybe John Riggins, but we don't. We have Daniel Jones against Taylor Heinicke, and you better like it, and you better enjoy it. Just letting you know.
Hey, is this a game where people are actually more looking forward to Hard Knocks' announcement?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe so. Maybe it's like the NBA draft lottery at halftime of a boring playoff game.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, yeah, just give it to me.
Well, you know, this is one of the reasons why I'm glad betting is around, is more legal around the nation than it was when I was younger, because this is maybe the only reason to watch. Throw some dollars on this game and see what happens.
I mean, because, you know, this is a far cry what it used to be, where it's like, throw the record book out.
Oh, yeah. No.
Doesn't matter what the records are. Even this early in the season, doesn't matter.
Giants Redskins or Giants football team. I don't know what to do with that anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, Giants football team.
That's a good question. Can we, if we're talking like 1980s Washington, are we allowed to say Redskins?
That is a very good question. Because if the reason they got rid of it is because in 2021 it's offensive, wouldn't it be offensive in sort of a historical context saying it anyway?
Yeah.
Like if they say you can't say Redskins because it's offensive, and I just did. Then we can't say...
I mean, we've said it a couple times.
Right, we've said it again in this segment. Then you can't say Washington, that they won the Super Bowl, like Super Bowl 17.
Yeah, the Washington football team hasn't won anything.
Yeah. Please hurry up and get a nickname, because the football team is driving me crazy. I don't know how you soccer people do it with, like, Nashville SC and
Austin
SC.
You're kind of just ingrained into it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It works there. It doesn't work in, you know, I guess our traditional three sports.
Right.
Like, can you imagine if we had, like, all of a sudden we had, you know, Cleveland wasn't going to change their name to Guardians. They went Cleveland baseball team.
I know. Ugh.
You know, that wouldn't fly. I don't know how Washington football team is lasting so long, and I hope that it's not one of their final picks.
No, I hope it isn't either. There was a couple of good ones we went over last week. There was one like the Presidents was kind of stupid, but
yeah.
Guardians. Like, there was one that was the Guardians, and then I think
Crusaders
there was,
or something.
Yeah, there was Crusaders. There was one that we talked about when you were gone that sounded kind of high schoolish, but it had a historical context. I think it was Guardians, where it was named after a sort of a battle battalion of the Air Force. Or something, and I remember going, all right, I know that sounds like a typical kind of high school name in the middle of nowhere USA, but it had
the finalists are Washington football team, and you've already mentioned Presidents, Armada,
Brigade,
Commanders, Defenders, Red Hogs and Red Wolves.
Red Wolves. That was it. It was Red Wolves, which would sound like, again, like, okay, we have red in our color and we're the wolves. Yay. But this was like some sort of historical context. It was like a fighter squadron, and they're going to honor that fighter squadron.
That works.
Yeah. I kind of lean towards that.
Yeah. I don't like the first four. Armada, Brigade, Commanders, Defenders. No. Get rid of all those.
Exactly.
Commanders. Commanders. You know, Washington Commanders sounds like that. That's a football team in a movie.
Right. Exactly. One little interesting stat, Daniel Jones, 4-0 all time against the Washington football team.
All right. How is he against the Redskins?
Yeah. good question. But you know what's going to be interesting tonight? Taylor Heinicke, he played really well against the Buccaneers in that playoff game when he burst onto the American scene. Remember that?
There's still hope.
There was, I enjoyed watching him try to beat the Buccaneers. I remember leaving that game leaving the television that game going, that kid played pretty well. I kind of enjoyed watching him. We'll see tonight as, again, this is an NFC East battle for the ages, but it's your Thursday night football. All right, coming up, let's talk about the Ryder Cup, because Brooks Koepka's in the news, and not for a good reason, but he might be telling the truth. Why Paul Azinger is really upset at him next as we continue with Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony V and Ron Culver.
It's a Throwback Thursday today, 1984, Miami Vice debut. This is Magnum P.I.
Yes, sir.
With Tom Selleck. He also had some money for nice cars and stuff.
Well, he didn't.
Well, Higgins did.
Higgins did.
Right, so he just borrowed Higgins' stuff. I have to make a correction, and I thank Michael on Twitter for this, because I'm glad this cleared it up. The Tuskegee Airmen were called the Red Tails, and that is the nickname that I was thinking of that honored a service group.
What's Red Wolves?
So I don't know. Red Wolves is just probably like Red Wolves, like Arkansas State.
All right, that was dumb.
So I thought it was Red Wolves. It's the Red Tails. That's the Tuskegee Airmen, and that's the one I think Washington should now go with, I guess.
Red Tails?
If it's honoring...
That's not one of the on the list, though. They didn't make the final cut. No.
They didn't make the final cut?
No.
Well, then all of these are dumb. I was going to give Washington credit for this.
Yeah, I mean...
Be better, Washington.
I guess now instead of Red Wolves, you move kind of... You can't even go Red Hogs. Because Hogs is kind of like just a fun name for their offensive lineman.
Yeah, don't name your team after something gimmicky from the, you know, from back in the day. That's silly. Just keep that separate from the team name. So, yeah. All right, the Ryder Cup is starting up next week at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the Ryder Cup, I'll give you a quick rundown. So, it's 12 golfers on each team, the United States taking on all of Europe. Okay, so the best golfers in the world are competing in an event in which you get points. And you get points by playing these match play events. And some of these events are team play. So you can play alternate shot. I hit, you hit, I hit, you hit. Or best ball, which is we play our own ball. And whoever gets the lower score, that's what counts on our scorecard. So it's a team game. In best ball, it may be individual that you're playing your own ball, but let's say I hit it out of bounds, we may just play Ron's ball, right? Just because I'm already playing three off the tee. So Brooks Koepka has said that he's not a real big fan of this because he's not used to team format. He doesn't really play it often. It's a very individual game. And his mindset is dealing with his own individuality. And what he's kind of getting at is this: I like to play my own shots and I don't have any, you know, I don't have to answer to anybody when I miss hit shots. So I'm not accustomed to playing somebody's bad shot in alternate shot or dealing with my own game and affecting my teammate. And also, there's nothing else I can do. All I got to do is go win my matches, and there's nothing else I can do to help the team. So Paul Azinger, who loves the Ryder Cup, didn't like this. And he said, look, quote, I'm not sure he loves the Ryder Cup that much. And if he doesn't love it, he should relinquish his spot and get people there who do love it. Not everybody embraces it, but if you don't love it and you're not sold out, then I think Brooks, especially being hurt, should consider whether he really wants to be there. And if you add the Bryson dynamic to that, then it would be an even easier decision for him. Now, a couple of weeks ago in the third round of the Tour Championship, Koepka hit a tree root on a full swing and injured his wrist. So he's not really up to, you know, par playing-wise in terms of this event. Now, do I agree with Azinger to an extent? Yeah, but I don't think Koepka was saying, I don't love the Ryder Cup. He is speaking truth in that American players do not grow up in an environment of team play. European golfers do. European golfers, it is very common for European golfers in practice rounds to play match play kind of events, best ball events. They'll get a partner, two other guys get a partner, they'll just play best ball. You can go to courses in England, and that's all they play, right? If you show up to play at St. Andrews, you might be paired up with people who are going to play best ball. Like, I'll be your partner, and you play best ball. That's what they do. That's how they play. And that's how they are able to play fast. It's a real common thing in Europe to play these sort of team things. Now, can you make adjustments and be professional? Of course, right? The United States used to dominate the Ryder Cup for a long time. And then because it was used to be United States versus England, and the United States had the better players. And then when they expanded it to the United States versus Europe and Seve Ballesteros got in on this, then it was over. The United States started losing because Seve was not messing around when it came to the Ryder Cup. Seve loved the Ryder Cup, and he had the how do we say, whatever, you know what they're, you know what they are, to go right after the Americans. He didn't care. He did not care. And I mean, he challenged them on penalties. I mean, he would make a fuss about things. He was a real stickler for details that would help Europe. Now, that is the essence of this event, is that, one, we see golf played in a completely different way than we do any other time. And when I say any other time, I'm talking 103 weeks out of the year. This thing is only happens once every 2 years, and it's just for a weekend. And these golfers, some of them, this is what they love about their sport. Look, you can win majors and win the Masters. Yes, and the applause for you winning the Masters is great, and U.S. Open and all that. But when you go to a Ryder Cup, especially on home soil, you're playing your sport in an atmosphere you don't see at all. And until you see it, and until you experience it, you don't know what you're getting into. It's real. It is loud. It is boisterous. And it is pressure. And Koepka's not really telling any lies here. He's not really trying to diss it. He's just saying it's tough. I'm not used to it. And it's hard. Of course it is. But Paul Azinger to sort of say that to take these comments and say he doesn't love the Ryder Cup, I don't know if that's true. I think the United States is better when Brooks Koepka's on it, but if he's hurt, I agree, then you should really say, hey, I'm going to hurt this team if I play. Right? I really, you know, every point matters, and I'm not going to be able to really help. So I agree with that if he's hurt. But I don't think he should quit because he doesn't like the Ryder Cup. I think it's that he finds the Ryder Cup a difficult setting, given that he's not familiar with playing in that way at any time. I love the Ryder Cup. It's one of my favorite events of the year. And you know what's cool about the Ryder Cup? Is that I get people who are not into golf into the Ryder Cup by just telling them to watch it. I go, watch the Ryder Cup. Just watch it.
Well, because it's not your traditional golf event.
Oh, it is.
I mean, it's a tradition. It really is. I mean, I know the Masters has the tagline, a tradition like none other, but the Ryder Cup, I think, fits it better.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I can have somebody who doesn't like golf and say, do you find golf boring on TV? And they go, yeah. And if I gave them the Masters, they'd go, yeah, I don't like this.
Yeah. Right? That's what I thought it was going to be.
Right. There's a reason I don't like it, and this is why I don't like it. If I say, do you like golf? And he goes, no, it's boring. I go, well, let me show you the Ryder Cup. They might go, is this like this every week? And I'd go, no. How often does this happen? Once every 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back to hating golf again. Like, it's, you know.
Call me next, in 2 years.
Call me in 2 years when they're doing this again.
I'll be back.
Because it's nuts. I mean, I know I've spoken about it many, many times. I'm just excited for it next week. I can't wait for it. Again, it's like one of my favorite events on the calendar. I've seen grown men practically cry at the Ryder Cup. I've seen professional golfers. This is what gets me. Remember when the PGA Tour, I think, still has it, but remember they used to do this ad campaign where their tagline was, these guys are good?
Yes.
I used to make fun of that because in no other sport do you have to convince people that the professional athletes are good at what they do. It was like the PGA Tour was going, these guys are good because they play a lot and practice a lot and are naturally gifted like any other athlete at a professional level. Like, you shouldn't have to sell the excellence of your athletes at a high level. Like, it's not a good selling point. Like, Penn and Teller, Penn used to told this line once, and I use it a lot. He one time was talking about being a magician, and he was talking to a woman about these tricks. And in one of the things about Penn and Teller, if you know their act, is Penn is pretty honest. They both are, actually. They know. They call themselves, like, entertaining liars because they're lying to the audience, right? When they make something disappear, they don't make something disappear. They use mirrors. They admit this. They go, we're not using magic. We're using tricks. It's a trick. And we perfect the trick. And he told this woman one time, he goes, what do you do for a living? And she said she was an accountant. And he says, so you do numbers and accounting every day, 10 hours a day, 8 hours a day, every day. And she said, yeah. And he goes, think about us working on taking that ball and making it disappear up our sleeve for 8 hours a day. That's what we do. right? So what you do for your living, we're doing what we do for our living. And after a while, you master that. It's the same thing with golfers, right? In any other sport, right? They don't just show up and shoot 65.
Yeah.
When you
not
don't
like
see
us.
Right, yeah. When you don't see them, they show up at their local golf course where they live and they hit balls for 2 hours. Then they putt for 2 hours. Then they have lunch. Then they chip and pitch for 2 hours. Then they hit balls for another 2 hours. Like, this is what they do every day, right? So at the Ryder Cup, I'm watching guys who every day hit balls, every day hit more balls than you will hit in a week if you went for a week. Like, they don't just hit one bucket and then call it a day like I do. They hit 10 buckets and call it a day. And yet, I've seen them shank shots 10 feet in front of them into the water.
Yeah.
I've seen them hit shots 30 yards offline because the pressure was too enormous. I mean, just enormous.
And then on the flip side, you see them make a shot that they have no business making. Like,
yeah,
how is that even humanly possible?
I know.
That
exactly.
You nailed it within a foot, inches of the cup.
I watched Seve one time at a Ryder Cup, and this was in Europe, so you can only imagine. Seve hit a shot in the trees. He went to pitch it out. He hit a low running hook underneath three branches or four branches. It was like a bunch of trees. Hit it underneath. He made it turn. He landed it 40 yards short of the green, which is a miracle shot. And then from 40 yards out, he slam dunked it in for a birdie.
Yeah.
And that place went ballistic. I mean, ballistic. And his opponents just went, whatever. We're not going to win this match. This guy's amazing. That's the Ryder Cup. If he had done that on a Tuesday round one of the ATP Swiss Open, nobody would have cared. He did it at the Ryder Cup. They couldn't contain the crowd.
Yeah, maybe it makes SportsCenter top 10, right?
Right, right. Like, look what Seve did in Barcelona. But at the Ryder Cup, it was demoralizing for Team USA to watch him do that. Because when you're walking up the fairway, you're like, well, Seve might be able to scramble a little bit out of that, but he's way over there. He's got those trees. We're going to probably win this hole. And then he punches it out, and you're like, okay, well, he's still 40 yards away. And then he drops it in for a birdie, and you're like, forget it. I quit. I'm leaving. I'm not even going to play. Why bother? I'll pick up my ball that I had for par 8 feet from the hole. Thanks. All right. That's the Ryder Cup. All right. Coming up next, we'll continue to look at the NFL as we continue. We got Good, the Bad, and the Dumb in Hour 2. Also in Hour 2, Jerry Palm is going to join us from CBS Sports. We're going to talk about college football. Oh, speaking of which, big game coming up this weekend in Norman. I'll tell you why next on Sports Map Radio.
Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. I'm stumped on this one.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I can't. Matt Houston?
No, we even.
Oh, no. No. I know this now. This is.
Sam!
Yes! This is Quantum Leap.
There it is.
That's what I was thinking of. We did a whole bit on Quantum Leap not that long ago. When we thought that Pirates player was Sam.
Yeah.
No, it was Dr. Bennett. That he was... he became...
Dr. Beckett.
The Pirates player... Dr. Beckett morphed into the Pirates player and didn't know how to play baseball.
Yeah.
That's right.
Didn't know what to do with Javier Baez.
I remember. Like, Javier Baez, do I tag him out? What do I do, Sam?
What do I do?
Sam, what do I do? Quantum Leap.
Got to consult Gigi.
That was, by the way, Quantum Leap was a sad ending because he never made it home.
He didn't. Didn't he give it up to somebody else or something?
Oh, no. I think the last thing they said was Dr. Beckett never... made it home. I think it was the last wording.
Is that what it was?
Of the season finale or series finale. And I started thinking, does he do that forever? For all eternity?
I thought he made it home, but it was like temporary.
Oh, maybe so.
And he had to go back for whatever reason, and there was controversy. Oh, like, then, if you go back, this will happen.
This will happen, yeah.
You won't be able to make it back. And
that's true. I don't know if that's got to be hell, right?
Yeah, like, but what a fun show that was.
That was what a great concept.
Yeah.
Like, he was trying to figure out, like, he had to figure out where he was and who he was.
Like, the whole purpose was to go back in time to save his brother, right?
Yes, yeah. Golly,
like to stop his brother's cool death concept. Or something like that. And
then he just caught up in this sort of vortex.
And it was always, I mean, the first part of the show was always fun because you're like, all right, he doesn't know who he is.
He doesn't know who he is.
He's a woman.
Yeah, and you'd go, whoa. Real quick, and I'm going to get more into this as the show progresses, because one of the things I like when I do the show is I like talking about current events that are going on, current teams, current situations. But I also, like, we do Throwback Thursday with teams. There's a game going on Saturday in Norman, Oklahoma, Nebraska. If you're old enough to remember when these used to be rivals, it was always a big deal.
It is
also marking the 50th anniversary of the game of the century between Nebraska and Oklahoma that has been voted the top game in the history of college football. And there's a reason why. And I'm glad that these two teams in the 50th anniversary came together to play, because the part of sports is remembering the moments that made us feel good. Now, for people who are live then, it was great.